This is the Dan Abrams Law and Crime Podcast with SiriusXM Radio. I'm sure by now you've heard of the show that I host, Live PD, on A&E.
There have been other shows on the air like Cops and other shows like it, which sort of give you a highlight reel. What makes Live PD different is it's almost a documentary-style examination of being a police officer in America. And we follow different kinds of departments. We follow sheriff's departments. We follow city police departments. And we vary from week to week a little bit. But most of the time, we have some level of consistency in the departments that we follow. It's on for 3 hours on Friday and Saturday nights. So we get to see a lot of policing at work. And, you know, some of it is just the mundane side of what police officers do. Sometimes it's not action-packed. It's a traffic stop, and someone presents their license, and turns out there's no issue. The person gets released. The police officer thanks them for being cooperative. They say, have a great day. That's part of policing, and that's part of what Live PD shows. Very different from the sort of, again, the kind of highlight reel that you see sometimes in other venues. And we have gotten a pretty good following online, the Live PD Nation, and the show is the number one rated live show on cable. I say this with no humility at all. That, you know, we double all the news shows. I mean, most of you listeners of POTUS Channel are also watchers of CNN, MSNBC, and Fox. And Live PD doubles the ratings in the key demo of any of the cable channels. The best shows. Maddow, Hannity, you name it. Live PD doubles their numbers in the key demo. So it's a big hit show, and it's not a hit show because of me. It's a hit show because of the officers that we follow. They are the stars of the show. It is, when I say the stars, it's the wrong word. They're the focus of the show because it's really just watching them work. And one of the officers who we watched work became one of the regular co-hosts and analysts on the show. Guy named Sean Sticks Larkin from the Tulsa PD gang unit, who has joined me here in the studio. Sticks, yes, great sir. To have you here.
Pleasure to be here.
So I'll give you a little background on Sticks. Sticks is a guy who's worked in law enforcement his whole career. He's been with the Tulsa PD for
22 years in January.
22 years.
This coming January, yep.
Was the head of the gang unit.
Correct.
Recently moved to a different unit, which we'll talk about in a moment. But is the kind of seasoned cop who anyone wants to have working in their area. Not just seasoned, but smart and strategic and empathetic. And so he is my co-host, also hosts a show called PD Cam on A&E, which airs at 10 p.m. on Thursday nights. And that's a show where they basically show you, you know, I'll let Sticks talk about a little bit about this rather than me. Oh, look who just walked in. Tom Morris just walked in, ladies and gentlemen.
The third and final amigo.
The third, he is here. So now that Tom's here, I'm going to say what I was going to say at the top of the show, which is, part of the reason that this show is so enjoyable to work on is because I've got these two guys, Tom Morris and Sean Larkin, who are just awesome people. In addition to being great at what they do, they're just great people and they're fun to work with every day. And it's just the show behind the scenes is just a really enjoyable show to do every day. So Sean, Tom, and me are going to take your calls about Live PD. Tom, welcome.
Thank you, Dan Abrams.
Good to have you here.
It's good to be here.
So let me start with you, Styx. In terms of your background, take us through how you got to where you are today in terms of your career with the Tulsa PD.
So I'm the son of two career military parents. My father was active duty for 32 years. My mom was in for 20. And so I just kind of grew up military bases and that structured life. When I got into my teenage years, I knew that I was either going to go into the military or law enforcement. And, you know, I grew up in the late 80s, early 90s there in San Francisco. And it was kind of the way crack cocaine and gang violence, the way it exploded, you know, there in the late 80s, early 90s. And so I grew up kind of around it. And, you know, I saw some of my friends go down that path, and I was always just a smart kid that managed to keep myself out of trouble. was around plenty of it, but just kept myself out of trouble. So when I finished high school, I knew I needed to get out of the Bay Area. My parents had actually divorced. My mom had family in Oklahoma. And so I moved out there to go to college and absolutely despised it. The area of Tulsa, Oklahoma was not for me, being a California kid. But it turned out to be one of the best decisions, obviously, ever in my life. So I got myself through school, started an internship with the Tulsa Police Department, and got hired right away. And my whole career, you know, working for Tulsa, I spent it primarily focusing on criminal street gangs and the people in that lifestyle. And it was something I was naturally drawn to. I felt I was very comfortable with it. And throughout my career, every assignment I have, you know, worked in has been in some form with that. And I've supervised the gang unit for the past 11 years. And then, you know, just here 2 months ago, as you mentioned earlier, I took over a new unit that we created, which is called the Crime Gun Unit. And that one now we're focusing on basically shootings that are even outside of the gang lifestyle, domestic related and things like that. And as science has gotten better and technology, we're able to use ballistics more. And so we're kind of looking at things like that.
When you say the gang unit, I think for people not that familiar with law enforcement, they think scary stuff.
Right.
How rough is it on the streets of Tulsa?
You know, and that's one of the things when Live PD first started, a lot of people, I think, that are viewers now, you know, they don't know that Tulsa and myself, we were actually one of the officers or departments that were on the show being covered. And, you know, people think Tulsa, Oklahoma, crime, gangs, you know, kind of laugh at it. And it's not something to be proud of, but the city of Tulsa, for cities with a population of 500,000, we historically kind of rate as one of the top most violent cities in the country. And just to give you an example, we had 72 homicides last year in Tulsa and 71 the year before. And we have more typically than Boston, than San Francisco, and a lot of these other larger cities. It's Oklahoma. It's that part of the country where gun ownership is very big. And there are access to firearms from people who shouldn't be in possession of them are able to get their hands on them, unfortunately. And so when the show, you know, first started and we were on it was as part of Live PD, it was an eye-opener to a lot of the public as far as what was going on in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And that goes on in every major city across the country. And I was contacted by citizens as well as other law enforcement officers across the country. They're kind of like, wow, we had no idea, you know, it was like that there in Tulsa. Yeah, we're a busy agency. We have quite a few shootings, you know, as I mentioned, homicides. And I think we have a very good police department that does a good job, you know, still going after those guys, though.
We're talking Live PD and policing with Sean Styx Larkin and Tom Morris Jr. Tom, what about you? Your background was both in law enforcement to some degree, but largely as a journalist who covered crime and helped try and solve crimes.
It is. When I was coming out of high school in 75, I had two passions, writing and law enforcement. So I wrote to the FBI and said, hey, I want to be an FBI agent. And they wrote back, and it was actually signed by J. Edgar Hoover, and said, we appreciate your interest in the FBI. FBI agents have to have a college degree, get your degree, and then contact us again. So I went to school and majored in my other passion, which was journalism and writing. Graduate. At that point, don't think about going to the FBI when I finish. I end up in the White House press corps in 81, covering Reagan initially as a sound man, a cameraman. And I spent 4 years in the press corps from 81 to 85.
You're a classic example of someone who worked his way up.
Literally. I mean, I started as a news writer intern in my junior year. I started at Independent Network News in Washington, D.C., in the bureau there as a courier. I learned how to do sound, waiting for videotapes on the Hill and at the White House with the camera crews to take them back to the bureau. And from there, I learned how to do camera, and I became a cameraman. So after about 4 or 5 years of that, I got kind of bored with the press corps, Rose Garden photo ops, and boring hearings on the Hill, and wanted to live up my Hemingway-esque adventures, the fantasies of adventure and romance abroad. So I taught my way into this program called the Embassy Task Group for the State Department to be deployed overseas to keep embassies from being bugged and stuff while they were being built or upgraded and so forth. And I was the only person that wasn't former military or law enforcement that was allowed in the program. I just kept talking the same trash, like, basically, you're going to train us all to do the same job, right? Mm-hmm. So next thing you know, I'm in Mogadishu, Somalia in 1988, assigned to this embassy under construction. Civil War breaks out 2 months later. I don't want to stay longer than a year because I can see things are going badly, okay?
Yeah.
So at the end of my contract, I opted out, came back to the States, and my dad always said, never do anything for less than 2 years professionally, whatever it is. So I said, well, I ventured off into this high-level top secret security work, so I went to work at Department of Energy in nuclear security at DOE headquarters in D.C. at Lafon Plaza. Did that for almost 2.5 years, and then my return to TV came in the most arbitrary, random way when my wife and I were visiting a friend of mine who's a professional golf photographer in Bethesda, and my wife remarked about the neighbor's yard across the street, his landscaping. And he goes, oh, yeah, that guy, he's the executive producer of America's Most Wanted. I said, really, Chris? You know him? He said, yeah, I'm having breakfast with him tomorrow. I said, really? I just so happened to have my resume in the car, gave it to Chris John. He gave it to Lance Heflin, the EP of America's Most Wanted. This is 1993. They called me 3 weeks later, and I spent the next 19 years with America's Most Wanted, ending when the show ended after 25 years as the senior correspondent on the show.
And when did you serve as a special police officer in D.C.?
After AMW ended. I kind of had to reinvent my life because all of a sudden, I mean, you've been with one TV show from the age of 36 to 54. Now, what, are you supposed to become a freelancer? Wait for the phone to ring and try to feed the Morris family or whatever? I was like, nah, that's not going to work. So what's the next best thing? I went to the Metropolitan Police Department cattle call for recruits and cadets. And I went to that, and I started to go into MPD. And then I just said, I don't know if I'm really ready to go through 6 months at this police academy and try to chase these little hoodlums like this, you know, at this point. So the second path was to become an SPO, which is a shorter training period, but you're commissioned by a Metropolitan Police Department.
Yep.
And so that's what I did, and I got assigned to a pretty rough housing project called Sursum Quarter, which is only about 8 blocks from the Capitol, but it's a world away, really. And I was policing there, and then a friend of mine that I'd worked with at DOE said, hey, would you like to come into the Uniform Division of Diplomatic Security at Maine State? I said, sure, and that's what I did. So I was working for the government with a top secret clearance when the phone rang to come audition for Live PD after about, you guys have been on, I think, 6, 7 episodes.
And yep.
The rest is history, Dan.
Yep, well, it's been great to have you since you started. Talking to Tom Morris and Sean Larkin of Live PD about Live PD and law enforcement. Kelsey from Michigan joins us. Hey, Kelsey, thanks for calling.
Hi.
Hey, Kelsey.
Hey.
Hi, what do you got?
I was just wondering what your guys' favorite part of the show was so far.
When you say favorite part, you mean favorite moment or favorite part?
Moment.
Favorite moment.
That's like trying to answer who's got the best barbecue in North Carolina or Texas. I mean,
I know who the best one is in Tulsa, that's for sure.
Yeah, go first, Dix. What's yours?
Man, my best, you know, for me personally, it's been, I've got to say, I've got to interact with a lot of law enforcement officers across the country. You know, guys that were on the show, you know, I've developed friendships with people. You know, I talk to Curly on a regular basis, Chad Ayers from Greenville, South Carolina. You know, he's come to Oklahoma to visit me. You know, Kevin Lawrence and I have spoken. I've spoken with John Olivia. And, you know, and I think, you know, for this profession to be able to reach out to other people across the country and talk about the show and the job and things like that, for me personally, that's been, you know, the best part of this whole thing, without a doubt.
For me, it's the opportunity to once again continue the work that I did for all those years on America's Most Wanted, being able to profile wanted fugitives, try to help law enforcement solve cases, and try to recover missing children. And we've recovered, with the help of the Live PD Nation viewers, I think about 6 or 7 missing children, maybe 8, including Mariah Martinez, which was just a blessing to be able to get that girl back home to her family. And there are a lot of great moments on the show that we all enjoy observing, you at home and us in the studio. But for me, it's really being able to use a little bit of that 3 hours to really try to solve a crime or help a family get their child back.
And well said. And for those who don't follow the show that closely, you should know that there is a really passionate, tight-knit community online that refers to itself as the Live PD Nation, which we celebrate as the Live PD Nation, which help us with everything. help keep us on the straight and narrow. Make sure whenever I misspeak that I know it. But most importantly, on the things that Tom is talking about, which is in a wanted segment or a missing segment, it is that community that has been just incredibly powerful in helping to solve crime. So I think it's a good point. Let's go to Jared in Pennsylvania. Hey, Jared.
Hey guys, how are you? This is the Twitter handle at Live PD Nation that me and my wife run.
So you know all about
the Live PD Nation. Yeah. You are.
Yeah, so we just wanted to call in and just thank you for your dedication on providing such a great insight on being a police officer in the United States. And you guys do a great job every weekend, you know, every weekend in and out. And, you know, we just love it. And especially Dan's commentary every week that keeps us coming back for more and more. We love it.
Thank you, Jared. That is it's great to hear. And just know that we're always watching your Twitter feed as well.
Well, thanks.
Yes, that's as Dan was talking about, there's Live PD Nation, and you know, if you've got that Twitter handle, man, that's one of the big things that is so enjoyable about this show. Is in addition to the public getting to see the profession, you know, as Tom mentioned, you know, solving crimes and finding kids at times that are missing, but the interaction we have with you guys during those 3 hours, you know, it's fantastic. It's something definitely very enjoyable.
Yeah, I found out I was wearing dad jeans the first time I wore jeans on the show. From somebody tweeted, like, does Tom Morris have on dad jeans? I get home, my daughter's like, So now I'm straight like Tom.
Tom bought a whole new.
He's got a whole new wardrobe.
Dan Abrams turned me on to his whole jeans game.
Let's see. Let's get Frank from New Mexico had a question. Frank, what do you got?
How's it going, guys?
What's up, man? Frank?
Hey, Sticks, I was watching your PD cam yesterday, and the lady that was in Albuquerque, New Mexico, she was a state representative.
Yes.
And she lost her bid for re-election. She never got re-elected right after that.
Ah, yeah. Imagine when that video went public.
She was on the show live, right? Was this the same woman who was on the show? Remember, we had someone on the show live who got pulled over and had a DUI. I don't remember
right,
where it was.
Yes.
It turns out she was a local representative somewhere.
Are you referring to what was on PD cam or live PD?
The PD cam.
Yeah, the PD cam. There was a rep that had been, yeah. And
But it was it something that hadn't been on live PD?
No.
Okay.
No. This was a previously recorded deal. Yeah, you know, when something like that gets out there publicly, I imagine it's probably not favorable to somebody's reelection. So
let's take one more call. Katie from Rhode Island. Hey, Katie, thanks for calling.
Hey, Dan, thanks for taking my call. I'm from Warwick and big fan of the Warwick Police Department, and especially Officer Jill Marshall. I just love her approach, and I notice that she's a lot different from a lot of the other officers. Do you recognize how different her approach is and how that can be helpful?
You kind of sound like her.
I literally
Marshall.
Was going to say that. I'm like,
you're not her daughter,
like,
are you?
Officer Marshall, is this you calling in? Are you looking for us to, you know, compliment you? Yeah, absolutely. You know, and for any officer anywhere across the country, you know, how they handle calls, a lot of it's just going to depend on, you know, who they are as an individual, you know, what their experiences are and things like that. And I don't know if this is the right words to say, but she almost has that motherly approach when she talks to everybody, you know, and just, as my mother did, you know, there's ways that you know how to talk to people and calm them down. And that's kind of how her approach is to things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's really good at de-escalating and, you know, not making people feel like she's attacking them by any means when she's dealing with them, regardless of what the type of call is.
Yep, that's exactly right.
This is a live PD special with Sean Sticks Larkin and Tom Morris Jr. in the house. Check back next week for part two of our live PD special. This has been the Dan Abrams Lawn Crime Podcast with SiriusXM Radio.